Is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer's Report, Minimum Wages, EITC, and Prison Recidivism. Professor Fred Brooks of Georgia State University shared with me a dense academic paper by Amanda Eigen and Michael Makowski, economics professors at the University of Rutgers and Clemson, respectively. The title of the paper was Minimum Wage, EITC, and Criminal Recidivism, which is not normally the kind of thing that comes into your email box and is greeted with an oh boy. Upon closer reading, though, maybe that's the wrong way to think about finding such a report, because the professors did some heavy data lifting to allow them to postulate interestingly on the impact of raising the minimum wage, especially whether it would reduce the incident of former prisoners finding themselves back behind bars because of what they termed the unemployment effect and the calculation of the cost and benefits of working lower wage jobs versus the likely income from illegal activity. They looked at 6 million records of prisoner release in more than a dozen states in a relatively short period up to 2014. They compared the release data with records of return and the impact of minimum wage increases in the same areas up to a maximum hourly wage at the time of $9.50 per hour. What they seem to have found is that recidivism rate was a little under 3% less for every 50 cent increase in the minimum wage in a locality for both men and women former prisoners. They found a significant decrease for women when there was an increase in earned income tax credits, though they could not find the same for men. All of that is very, very interesting. They hesitate to speculate on the policy impacts, but of course, that's not a problem for me. When they look at the different impacts of EITC for women, they speculate it has to do with the fact that many are single women heading households with children. They seem not to factor in the additional child care credit that EITC provides households with children that might provide significantly more appreciable benefits to women in such situations than single men ex-prisoners trying to navigate the highly discriminatory job market for ex-cons. They don't decry the impact of frozen minimum wages federally and in many of these states, but of course I can, since the marginal impact of a 50 cent increase might yield much lower rates of recidivism in states where we want $1 an hour increases, or, as they point out in the future, any areas where a significant improvement up to $15 an hour is achieved. They also don't condemn the short-sightedness of conservative Republican legislatures attempting to refuse to allow cities to increase minimum wages within their boundaries in Alabama, Florida, Louisiana, Texas, and elsewhere, even though proportionally the incident of prison population is more minority and more urban, and the releases are also coming into cities. Allowed to have higher minimum wages, as many areas have approved at the ballot box, could drastically reduce crime rates as well as lower the percentages of those returning to jail. The mind boggles at the potential policy impacts that this study hints might be possible with fair wages and equitable wage distribution. Is anyone listening out there? This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.